जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Saved, text number 43. Please repeat after me. Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishna Rushabhava Nidhruga. श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सख वृष्णार्ष भाव निधृग राजन्य वंश दहनान पवर्ग वीर्य राजन्य वंश दहनान पवर्ग वीर्य गोविंद गोद्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार गोविंद गोद्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन नमस्ते योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन नमस्ते श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा वृष्णर्ष भाव निधृग राजन्य वंश दहनान पवर्ग वीर्य गोविंद गोद्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन नमस्ते श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा वृष्ण ऋष भाव निधृग राजन्य वंश दहनान पवर्ग वीर्य गोविंद गोविज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वरा श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा भावनी दृग योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन् नमस्ते श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सख वृष्ण ऋष भाव निधृग राजन्य वंश दहनान पवर्ग वीर्य गोविंद गोद्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन् नमस्ते श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सख वृष्ण ऋष भावनी माताजी से। श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा वृष्ण ऋषभाव निद्रग राजन्य वंशदहनान पवर्ग वीर्य गोविंद दो द्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन् नमस्ते। कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा ऋष निवृष राजन्य वंशदहनान पवर्ग वीर्य श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा विष्णव कबाव निद्र राजन्य वंशदहनान पवर्ग वीर्य गोविंद गोद्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन् नमस्ते। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा वृष्ण ऋषभावनी दृग राजन्य वंश दहनान पवर्ग वीर गोविंद गोद्विज सुरार्ति हरावतार योगेश्वराखिल गुरो भगवन् नमस्ते। सेनानिम श्री कृष्ण। ओ श्री कृष्ण कृष्ण सखा ओ फ्रेंड ऑफ अर्जुन वृष्णि ऑफ डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ वृष्णि ऋषभ ओ चीफ अवनी द अर्थ दृक् रिबेलियस राजन्य वंश डायनेस्टीज ऑफ द किंग्स दहना ओ अनायलेटर अनपवर्ग Without deterioration of Virya, prowess, Govinda, O proprietor of Golokadham, Go, of the cows, Dvija, the Brahmanas, Sura, the demigods, Artihara, to relieve distress, Avatar, O Lord who descend, Yoga Ishwara, O Master of all mystic powers, Akhila, Universal, Guru, O Preceptor, Bhagavan, O Possessor of all opulences, Namah Te, Respectful obeisances unto you. Translation and purport by Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode and you descend to relieve the distress of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A summary of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is made herein by Srimati Kunti Devi. The Almighty Lord has His eternal transcendental abode, where he is engaged in keeping Surabhi cows. He is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He descends on the material world to reclaim his devotees and to annihilate the disturbing elements in groups of political parties and kings who are supposed to be in charge of administration work. He creates, maintains, and annihilates by his unlimited energies, and still he is always full with prowess and does not deteriorate in potency. The cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees of the Lord are all objects of his special attention because they are very important factors for the general welfare of living beings. So this is the last verse in the series of verses, the prayers by Queen Kunti Maharani. So Kunti Maharani is constantly praying, she is offering her beautiful prayers. And the conclusion is, she is concluding by saying that you descend to this, you know, earth, on this earth, to destroy these political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. The earth is burdened because of all the demonic tendencies, especially the people who are Kshatriyas, who are supposed to be the protector, but they are acting as, you know, they are the disturbing forces. Actually, it is like the police, you know, the department is supposed to protect the citizens, but they are the ones, if they start to perform all the criminal activities, then it is very serious concern. There will be always demonic tendency in personalities, the people who want to do all the nefarious acts. But if the protector becomes, you know, the one who is exploiter, then it is a serious thing. That's why Krishna comes in this material world. It's one of the very important aspects of his descent to the material world. Especially Vasudev Krishna. You know, Krishna, when he leaves Vrindavan, you know, Shyam Sundar Krishna is in Vrindavan and he never lifts any weapon. But when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he is Vasudev Krishna. And he also, you know, has to punish those people who are very adamant. Those who do not want to surrender, those who do not want to beg forgiveness for their all the nonsensical, demonic activities, Krishna has no choice but to show his mercy in the form of his punishment. So sometimes, you know, we see that a mother may chastise the child in a very harsh manner. The child may be crying and the people in general may think, why this mother is being so cruel to this child? The child appears to be innocent. And isn't the mother supposed to be loving all the time? But the love has different varieties of emotions. Anger can also be part of love. So she is chastising the child out of love. The anger is out of love for the better of the child. King Kulashekhar prays, he describes how is the personality of Vasudev Krishna. Jayatu Jayatu Devo Devaki Nandanoyam. He is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Jayatu Jayatu Krishna Vrishni Vamsham Pradipaha. He is the light, the lamp, the, you know, main supreme person who has taken birth in Vrishni dynasty. Jayatu Jayatu Prithvi Bhara Nasha Mukunda. Jayatu Jayatu Devo Devaki Nandano Yau. Jayatu Jayatu Krishna Vrishni Vamsham Pradipa. Jayatu Jayatu Megh Shamalam Komalango. He, you know, his complexion is dark. And, you know, Komalango, his very beautiful, soft, lotus-like limbs. And the most important, what is his business? Jayatu Jayatu Prithvi Bhara Nashav Mukundav. That is the main business of Vasudeva Krishna. He is relieving the burden of the Mother Earth. The earth, when gets filled with demoniac people, then Krishna descends and he shows his mercy in that fashion. But people many times do not understand. But Kunti Devi, she is very advanced. She is like, you know, our spiritual master. And she is showing the highest knowledge to all of us. And you know, in Bhagavatam there are so many prayers by so many great devotees. Prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, prayers by Dhruva Maharaj, prayers by Gajendra. All are so beautiful prayers, but Prabhupada chose prayers by Queen Kunti and he made into a separate scripture, separate book. So that's very interesting for all of us to know that Kunti Devi has a very special place in our Vaishnava culture. And she is the only person who has ever prayed to Krishna that, please give me calamities. Vipada santuta shashvat yatra yatra jagat guru. Nobody has ever prayed. But she is praying like this because she knows whenever the calamity will be there, Krishna will also be there. So, you know, how to understand this? How can someone ask for calamities? Only she can do. But just to understand, there was one little boy. And his mother was always busy working. She used to always stay outside and she had to work somehow. And he used to always miss his mother. So one day he went out and he was playing with his friends and he got injured on his left leg. He got a wound. And seeing that, the mother took an off for 7 days and she spent time with the child. She nurtured, took care of the child. And the child felt so nice. Such is the best effect of getting hurt. That's what he felt. So when the child got cured and the mother resumed her work, then the child came back to play with his friends. And this time he said that, I pray that today I get injured on my right leg. So everybody said, hey, are you a fool? Who prays for getting hurt? But he knows that with the calamity, you know, my mother will also be there. So in the same way, Kunti Devi knows that with the calamity, my Supreme Lord, my Master, the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna is going to be there. And that's why she is completely fearless and she is asking such benediction, such prayer. And if you see the life of Kunti Devi, it's full of calamities. You know, she was born to Shurasen. You know, she is sister of Vasudeva, that means Krishna's aunt. But when she was only 7 years old, she was given in charity or adoption to Kunti Bhoja. So 7 years old, you see, even in today's world, when the child has grown 7 years, it's so hard to go through that phase. You know, everything will change in no time. All the relationships are, in a way, you know, they are severed and you have to build all over. But she accepted. And, you know, later on she got married to Pandu, who is a very righteous king. But, you know, later on when Pandu went, you know, on a fight, he pleased a king and he gave Madri. So, in charity. So, he brought Madri. So, she had another, like, co-wife. So, she had to deal with that. So, always, you know, her character has been tested. And that's what happens with all of us. Always something happens. But the way we respond to such situations is very important. But you see the character of Kunti Devi, when she was in the palace, she was the queen. You know, the Pandu was the king. But her character was the same. She was the same, very sober, very simple, completely devoted, chaste wife. And then when Pandu got cursed by Kindam, he decided to go and live in the forest. And she went with him. You know, both the wives went. And as you know, because of the curse, Pandu left the world very soon. You know, after they had all the Pandavas, and then Pandu left the world And it was such a shock. If you see in those days, a woman with 5 sons, very young children, and no husband, and at the same time with, you know, the other side, the party, the Kurus, are always constantly harassing them like anything. So when Pandu was, you know, he left the world that time, who will go for Sati? That was the question. Madri came up to Kunti Devi and she said, you should stay and I should go Sati. And she gives 3 reasons why. The first thing she says that, first of all, I am partly responsible for the death of the husband. Second, she tells very important reason. She says, now without the husband and with these 5 children, and knowing the character of Dhritarashtra and all the Kurus, the life is going to be so hard later on that I prefer entering fire than living such a life full of calamities. So she could foresee. And then third, she says that you are the best person because you are completely impartial. You are the one who can raise all the 5 children without any partiality. Because out of the 5 Pandavas, 3 are sons of Kunti Devi and 2 are sons of Madri. So she says, you are the best person, and she accepted. That was very hard for her to accept this situation. And she is raising the 5 Pandavas so nicely. You see that even though Dronacharya is teaching them all the different varieties of, you know, how to deal with weapons, how to fight, but the spiritual knowledge is mostly given by their mother, Kunti Devi. You see many, many incidents when Kunti Devi, she is not just a simple woman, she is not just a wife. At the same time, she is completely well-versed in scriptures. She gives, you know, many, many different varieties of knowledge, advices from the scriptures. She quotes scriptures to Yudhishthir, who is Dharmaraj. So actually, he is considered the personified Dharma, but Kunti Devi, you know, she is the one who is raising that, the personified Dharma. And, you know, later they were attempted to be killed. These 5 Pandavas, along with their mother, they were attempted to be, you know, killed, to be burnt alive. Such was the heinous mentality of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan and Dushyasan, Shakuni. They formed such a plot. So they were so degraded. So we see in the purport today, the political parties which are disturbing elements, you know, especially to the cows, the brahmanas and the devotees. So the devotees of Lord Krishna are constantly going through one calamity to another calamity. Constantly. And, you know, somehow they, you know, came back from the forest on the request of Vidura, you know, after that incident. And then Yudhishthir was made the king, you know, Indraprastha, they developed it. But then again the Kurus, these demoniac Kurus, they formed a plot that they will invite Yudhishthir and they will trick them in the gambling match. And in that gambling match, they, you know, crossed all the limits. They did so much of, you know, demonic activities. They did so much of adharma that not just they took away everything, snatched everything away from Pandavas by false means, they also asked the wife of the Pandavas, Draupadi, to be brought in the middle of the assembly of all the men. And, you know, in a way they claim that we have won her. First they took all the wealth from Yudhishthir in the gambling match. See, gambling is so, so worse. That's why, you know, no gambling. Prabhupada mentioned the 4 regulative principles. Gambling, it can be so, you know, detrimental to all of us that everything was taken away from the Pandavas. Not just the wealth, the kingdom, the throne, no. Also their own self. They were enslaved. And then they said, you should also put your wife on, you know, at the stake. And when they did, they said, now we own Draupadi. She is our servant. So they asked Draupadi to be brought in the middle of the assembly. There was Bhishma, Drona, Kripacharya, who is Purohit, you know. And they, all they could do is only see and at the most cry. That's the only thing they could do. And Krishna was the only person who saved Draupadi from being disrobed. So that time these Pandavas took all the vows. You know, when this thing was happening, when Dushasan pulled hair of Draupadi, Bhima said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to drink your blood. That is my vow. When Duryodhan, you know, showed his naked thigh to Draupadi and said, you know, you should come and sit here. That time, Bhima was so enraged, he wanted to kill all of them right on the spot. But just because of Yudhishthir, he stopped. And he took so many vows. He said, I'm going to kill all the Kurus. All the 100 Kauravas, I'm going to kill alone. And especially Duryodhan, I'm going to kill at the last. And I will kill you in a fashion that the death personified will also tremble. And they took so many vows. And finally, you know, when Draupadi was about to curse, and, you know, Bhishma and others, they intervened. Vidura intervened mostly. And then it was decided that these Pandavas will be exiled for 12 years in the forest and 1 year incognito. Now, very important thing, Kunti Devi decides to stay in the palace this time. All the previous time she has always accompanied Pandavas, but this time she says, I'm going to stay in the palace. The reason is so that you do not forget what injustice has happened to us. Because you may go to forest, live 12 years and become very peaceful, you know, sannyasis, or you may have different mentality and you may not want to fight again, but I will stay here and that will remind you what has happened. And our mother is staying with these, you know, demons, you know, these rascals who have mistreated us so much. So whatever fear that she had, the same happened. As you see in Mahabharata, at the end of the 12 years and after 1 year of incognito, they decide that let's give them another chance. So Krishna, you know, they sent Krishna as the messenger of peace. That one last chance, we can avoid this war. Why to fight and cause killing of so many innocent, you know, people. When Krishna came to Hastinapur, he, you know, had this meeting and everything, and he knew that it's not going to work. But when he met Kunti Devi, she embraced Krishna and she cried like a child. And she said that, what has happened to my sons? How can they even bring about such a, you know, how can they even bring such a peace thing? There is no peace. There cannot be any peace, because the very reason you come here is to relieve the burden of the earth. And if the Pandavas do not become the kings, then who is going to become the king? You know, Duryodhan will become the king. And what will happen after that? So many innocent people will be exploited. And women will be exploited. Because the king is a rascal, what do you expect from all the common citizens? And after Duryodhan, who is going to be the next king? His son. Then the, you know, son of Dushasan will become. And this is how the entire future of Mother Earth is in darkness. And then Krishna beautifully explains that, you know, Mata, I understand what you are saying. And it is not going to happen. Do not worry. The fight is inevitable. So people many times ask, what kind of God is this? Krishna, he is actually arranging a fight which, you know, later becomes some, the biggest massacre of around 640 million people were killed on the battlefield. So what kind of God is this who is, you know, promoting violence? Rather, God means he should be saying that non-violence, tolerate everything, you know. But how come Krishna is arranging all these things? So Krishna explains that time. And he mentions that how sometimes to avoid a greater violence in the future, one has to engage in little amount of violence. Sometimes there is no choice. And you see in the world that when we are walking, some, you know, creatures, they come under our feet and they die. So, and sometimes we eat, even though you may be vegan, but whatever you are eating, you know, it is always has some amount of violence, some amount of sin. Even if you are eating plants, you have caused some violence to the plants. So there is never a scenario where you are completely free of violence. Jivo, jivasya jivanam. That is always there. There will be some amount of violence attached. And Krishna says the same concept in Bhagavad Gita. Bhunjate te twagam papa ye pachanti atmakaranat. Whoever is eating for his own benefit, atmakaranat, without, you know, offering, they are bhunjate te twagam papa. They are eating sins only. That so clearly Krishna explains. And, you know, sometimes, or many times, the violence is needed. The doctor cannot say that, oh, I'm not going to cut open this body because that is like causing violence to this body. Rather, I would not touch the body. Then he is causing a greater violence because the person is going to die. So, that's very important for all of us to understand. Sometimes, you know, a family ends up in a very difficult situation that a pregnant lady is given a choice. The family is given a choice. You know, we can save either the mother or the child. So the family cannot say that we are very, you know, non-violent person. We never have even caused harm to an ant. How can we kill the child? But not doing so, they are causing greater violence. They are taking away the mother from the other two grown-up children. They are taking away the wife of her husband. So, there is always, you know, the life is full of difficult choices that we understand. I remember one, you know, very crazy thing that happened one time in Chopati temple. In the middle of Bhagavatam class, one older person was getting heart attack. And there was one strong, very powerful person, he said, I'm a doctor. So he came and he started punching his chest. And there was this sound, boom, boom, boom. And if only that scene is shown to the people, they will think these Hare Krishnas are very violent. They chant Hare Krishna and, you know, they seem very, you know, peace-loving people. But if you see, very soon that person came back to consciousness. And he was so grateful to that person for saving his life. And that's how it is. You know, if you do not commit such type of little violence, sometimes there is no choice. And Krishna, he explains how there are two things for Kshatriyas. One is forgiveness, Kshama. Or there is Danda. What should be chosen? One should always forgive, or one should have, you know, one has to give punishment. So Krishna explains that if one constantly forgives, then that becomes exploitation for all the other innocent citizens. At the same time, one should not be fanatic. One should not be, you know, a very harsh person in terms of punishment. So in this regard, there is a beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. You see, one time, one person was caught stealing something from the temple. And he pleaded Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please forgive me, please, I won't do it again. Prabhupada, that time, he forgave him. And he said, never do it again. And then, after a few months, the same thing happened. Somehow he, again, was caught with proof. But this time Prabhupada gave him to the police. So there has to be balance. And Krishna is talking that forgiveness and punishment, they have to be very rightly balanced. Otherwise, people will always take you for granted. And that's why you see that Kunti Devi, even though she is such a high-class devotee, you know, she is one of the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna, but she has raised her sons to become the great rulers because they are Kshatriyas. So naturally, she has made them perfect Kshatriyas. And that's why she becomes very upset when she understands that my sons, they are trying to make peace with these people. It's impossible. And then you see Krishna gives promise that whoever was cause of the tears that came from my dearmost devotee Draupadi in that assembly, whoever, despite being Kshatriya, they acted impotent. They did not take any action, rather they only reciprocated with the tears of Draupadi, with their tears, I proclaim death penalty for all of them. So that was completely cleared by Krishna. Everyone will die in that assembly. And that is Krishna's nature. You know, he is Vasudeva Krishna. So he also gives punishment. And Draupadi, her character, she is also Kshatrani. At the same time, she is pure devotee. So one is pure devotee doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be only non-violent. Like Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times. Sometimes he called it is nonsense non-violence. Sometimes, you know, there's a beautiful pastime. Srila Prabhupada mentions that there was one Buddhist guru and he came to meet Prabhupada with his disciples and they were talking. So Buddhist people, they say, whatever happens, we are going to follow non-violence. And, you know, the discussion was going to and fro, but there was no conclusion as such. Then Prabhupada said, okay, there are some, you know, lady disciples of yours. What if somebody tries to misbehave with them while you are walking on the street? What will you do? Won't you take any action? So this person was so much bewildered. Now what should I say? So he, you know, became blank for some time. And then finally he said, no, whatever happens, non-violence is the only way. I won't do anything. But hearing that, those ladies, they got bewildered. They said, sir, what are you saying? You won't take any action? Aren't you supposed to take, you know, care of all of the ladies? So Prabhupada said, see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That sometimes there is also a need to at least show a tough personality. You may not have to actually do some non-violence, but sometimes you have to at least show, you know, that you are a tough person, that you are not a passive person. That is very important. The Srila Prabhupada mentions many times, and that's why Bhagavad Gita is spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It is the battlefield. This world is, you know, in one sense, we are all on the battlefield. You know, on the battlefield, we never know at what time we have to give up our life. And here we do not know what time the call of death will come. So in one sense, we are all on the battlefield. So Krishna chose the battlefield to be, you know, the place for giving the highest knowledge to Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battlefield. So whatever situation we have been placed, whatever, you know, by our previous karma and by the desire of Krishna, whatever life Krishna has given us, whatever facilities, and, you know, whatever situation we are in, we should always try our best to satisfy the will of Lord Krishna. And with that intention, Kunti Devi, she raised her children to be the perfect Kshatriyas. And they fought in the battlefield of Kurukshetra and they were victorious. So, you see, ultimately Krishna's whatever he predicted came true, that these all Kurus, they lost their lives. Especially Duryodhan, his situation was so bad that he was seeing his own body being eaten by jackals and vultures. So, we should understand that Krishna's personality is that we should always serve Krishna with our dharma. That's why the Pandavas, they are perfect Kshatriyas. And one time when George Harrison, he asked Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, so does that mean that I want to follow Hare Krishna teachings, instructions? Does that mean I should give up everything? Does that mean I should come and join the temple, shave the head? But Srila Prabhupada said, no. The best situation for you is you can spread Krishna consciousness in the situation that you are in. Whatever Krishna has given you, utilize in the service of Krishna. You rather write songs for Krishna, whatever you are doing. And he became such a great instrument in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So much that at the end, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was on his deathbed, Srila Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Goswami. And with the tears in his eyes, Srila Prabhupada, he gave one of his rings, you know, golden rings. He took it off and he gave it to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he said, give this to George, to George Harrison. So, Prabhupada was remembering that, you know, whatever nice service that he has performed. So that's why we should remember this, and whatever situation we are in, we should make the most to spread Krishna consciousness, fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has questions?
Yeah, you gave an example of there's a question of the death of the mother or the child, like when the mother's going to give birth to the child, then the child should be killed. But isn't that abortion? If you kill the child in that situation, isn't that abortion? Because you mentioned, you gave an example.
Everything is considered based on the intention. Like, in one sense, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was massacre of, you know, there was so much killing, but what is the intention? So, law of karma doesn't, you know, it's not a black and white thing. It's not like, you know, you have done this, then that's going to happen. No. It also takes into account what is your intention behind the activity. So that's why Yukta Vairagya is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Like, what you are doing, that is important, but also the intention. So the usual abortions and whatever happens, that happens for sense gratification. So that is dealt with very strict manner by the law of karma. But in such special cases, you know, the special scenarios are taken into account. What is the intention? So that's why one has to have that balance.
Yeah, it's my understanding that Prabhupada just didn't want that, you know. I mean, anybody could say this is my intention, you know, if they do something, but... like Srila Prabhupada mentions, if you kill the child, then you have to take birth again and again and be killed in that same way. So, it's, and that's, you know, and the child, you know, the mother may die, she may not die, so it's not always a question of that. You know, everybody has their karma like that.
That's what I'm saying, that the law of karma doesn't work like black and white. It doesn't, you know, it is not based on only activity. It also takes into account the intention. Yeah, Archil Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class. One other statement that may require some clarification. You said that Krishna stated to Kunti that everybody who was in that assembly would be killed. But there was one person who was not killed, who survived the battle of Kurukshetra, and that's Dhritarashtra himself. You could say the main antagonist. He was left alive. And actually, he didn't die until he really wanted to die. He left the palace, as you know, and went out in self-immolation. So yeah. Technically, everybody did not die that was in that assembly.
Yeah. Also, Kripacharya, he didn't die because he was Purohit. So he got that special case savior. So somehow, the actual statement that Krishna said is those who are Kshatriyas and they did not perform the duty. It's like the fence which is supposed to protect the field, rather the fence itself is, you know, eating and exploiting the field and the crops. So that was the intention. And it's very beautiful. Even Bhishma was, you know, punished for that. So, Maharaj.
I thank you for a nice class. There was this one point that you had made, not one point, but you made this point many times. And with all due respect to Queen Kunti, who is, yes, highly knowledgeable spiritually, and raised her children to be very well behaved with the kind of virtues that would be helpful for them to be good Kshatriyas. So, but the main or the bulk of the teachings of her children, the five Pandavas, it came primarily, number one, from Kripacharya, number one. He was their warrior, weapons teacher. And then after Kripacharya, or during this time, Bhishma Dev, he was the grandfather, and he was teaching them all the time. From the time they were young, and they were growing up, and he knew all the knowledge of weaponry. He knew all the astras. He knew so many things on how to train a warrior. And now from the other point of view of running a kingdom, they got knowledge from Vidura. Vidura was considered the wisest person. Of course, he is an incarnation of Yamaraj. And even though he was born Sudra, nonetheless, it was totally meaningless. Just a word. Because for Vidura, he was brighter than the brightest Brahmin. Okay. So, therefore, the five Pandavas were taught by Bhishma Dev, by Kripacharya, by Vidura, and by Dronacharya. So those played a very important part in the Kshatriya life. The basic conduct and behavior of a Kshatriya was given, as you mentioned, the virtues that they needed to acquire from Kunti. She herself was from royalty. She herself had father, it was a stepfather, Kunti Bhoja, and she lived in the kingdom of royalty, so she learned all the proper manners and of the Kshatriyas, because she was surrounded by Kshatriyas all the time, you see. But the actual training in of how to be a Kshatriya, how to deal with different circumstances, how to deal with a person who surrenders, how to deal with a person who will not surrender, and so forth and so on. So that was my first point, is their training came primarily from those five. And Kunti was there, of course, but that was the main thing. There was another thing that just was in my mind, and that because I have a very small mind, it dropped out of it real fast. So, I can't remember it now at the moment, but it was an important point that you had made there, and I wanted to comment on that. Well, one point that you had made, you had mentioned that in the assembly hall when there was an attempt by Dushasan to strip down, drag her through the assembly hall and strip her in front of all these male Kshatriyas, then you said, well, Krishna saved her. But I don't think it's very clear to persons. Say, how he saved her? He wasn't even there, okay? So you missed a very important point, that Draupadi was such a great devotee that she saw that her husband could not help her. They had been won themselves. They were like a slave of Duryodhana. So who can a helpless woman cry out to and get the benefit or get help from except the person whom she deeply and most dearly loved, which was Krishna. So there, while the stripping was going on, she looked up and she was, we have that, no, we don't have that picture yet. It's in my own ashram. But so she looked up and she was just pleading, please, Krishna, save my honor. Save my honor. See, this is a woman who was so, first of all, she was not an ordinary woman. She was a demigoddess. She was not born either at the earth or in a womb. She was born out of a fire, as you know. And so was her brother, Drishtadyumna. So she pleaded her sense of honor that she should be stripped and made naked in front of a whole assembly of kshatriyas, men who should know better. Even Dhritarashtra should have stopped it immediately. But somehow or other, Krishna held that in check so that we could learn of the great, the tremendous devotion that Draupadi had, and she could call out and cry out to such an extent that this Dushasan, who was pulling her sari, pulling the sari yards and yards and yards, and it would never end. So he ended up becoming exhausted. He just fell plots down on the floor and just lay there. She could not be stripped naked. So therefore, this point is that Krishna was not there physically. He was there in a spiritual form. And so therefore, it was like appearing out of nowhere, all this cloth was coming down. There may have been a visualization also of Krishna. I don't know. It's not clear. But we always see it in the pictures that Krishna is there. As to whether anybody else saw that, or whether even Draupadi saw it, is another matter. But they did see the cloth. He couldn't miss that.
Yeah.
So, therefore, this teaches us that devotion is the most important, and Prabhupada emphasizes it over and over, devotion is the most important quality that we have. What is devotion? Selfless affection and ardent dedication to, in this case, the Supreme Lord. I'll repeat that. Selfless affection and ardent dedication. I could do a whole lecture on selfless affection, which I won't. But the main point is that she had that. And because she was so selfless in her affection, Krishna's heart was tugged at, and he immediately saved her. So we have to be thinking like that every moment, because there is danger at every moment, every step. You don't know where you're going. You're walking one day and suddenly your ankle twists, or you kick something and your ankle is twisted, and you have a twisted ankle for a whole month. But yet 5 minutes before, you were running and jumping and thinking this could never happen in our lives. So really we have to be very careful that danger at every step, but yet there's Krishna at every step. So Krishna can save us from whatever would hurt us or harm us or hinder us from growing devotionally. That's all. Thank you. Sorry for taking up all your time.
Anybody else?
Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. I go to Manade.
Hare Krishna.